Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It was the best of time. It was the worst.
She was the people's princess.
To fight on the beaches.
Oh, wait, man. These are the things that made England.
To fight on the landing ground.
These are the things that made England.
I have the body, but of a weak and feeble woman.
These are the things that made England.
And a king of England, too.
These are the things that made England.
Cry God for Harry!
And these are the things that made England.
England! And St. George!
These are the things that made England.
We are here, gathered together, gentle listeners, to talk about another thing that made England. And it clearly did. However, it may not go in the cabinet. More to be revealed. Anyway, I am joined by Luke Baxter, who has very kindly agreed to let me assault his eardrums with heavy metal thunder. Whoa. Hello,
Rock.
Luke.
Rock! Hello.
Rock!
Yeah, I am doing.
Actually, I was actually remarking to myself that when we went to heavy metal gigs and all that sort of stuff, I mean, not you and me, but you know, us. And not you at all, in fact. They never talked about heavy metal. They talked about rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
So where did the heavy metal thing come in, anyway? But they knew they were called heavy metal.
Yes.
Anyway, we're going to talk about heavy metal.
I have been to heavy metal
now,
concerts.
I understand. You have, have
I
you?
I have, yes.
But I had understood from our correspondence that you were not a fan.
Oh, no. I don't feel that's... No, I'm not fair. No. No.
Vraiment.
Oh, oui,
mon brave.
Yeah, yeah.
You are
I'm a petit fan. Fanette.
Oui, petit. Oh, well, that's very good, because I was assuming this is going to be a train smash, and you were going to talk about Genesis all the time, and I was going to have to shoot you and
Genesis.
Eat your liver.
I hate Genesis.
Yes, I hate Genesis too.
Yes.
Luke, I love you and want to kiss your cherry lips.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, they suck.
Yeah. In fact, yes.
Anyway. Yeah. I mean, I was subjected to Lamb Lies Down on Bloody Broadway.
Yeah.
And if only I'd had a car, I'd have driven over that lamb.
Yes. But you see, that's prog rock, though. But you see, you are wrong about Pink Floyd, but we've done that. So we're not going to go,
yes,
we're not going to tread over old ground.
Actually, I don't hate Pink Floyd, actually. Yeah. There are sublime bits of Pink Floyd, but they were never my jam.
No.
Mm. As my daughter would say. Yeah. So let's get on with it, because we've started blathering. So Luke, I think I'm going to struggle to present heavy metal as something which made England, to be frank.
Right.
You know, it's a tall order, you know, the Church of England, 1066, Magna Carta, and heavy metal.
Rave culture.
Although we did put ska in the, but we didn't put rave culture.
Well,
we didn't really. I mean, Royfield got very cross.
Yeah. Yes, he very much threw his toys out of the pram on that one.
Anyway, what I'm going to say about this is that I don't want to put the thing in your stupid cabinet. I would not go in there if you begged me. There is a reason for that, which is to be in the metal world, Luke, is to be out.
Yes.
You think it's punk, isn't it? You think that punk is the outsiders. Absolute rubbish. The punk are in. They are in the enemy reading Doc Martin wearing Elite. Yeah. I'm really serious, but I'm a music man.
Yeah.
That Brigade loved it. Punk, Floyd, Genesis, Weller. Seriously, just saying
Genesis
names
in with that
makes
lot.
Me feel... Yes, everybody really serious about it. I mean, your Weller fan didn't necessarily like Genesis.
No.
Okay, I'm not saying they're the same. But in the Venn diagram of earnestness, they're in the middle.
Yes. I have to admit, I only started liking metal when I came to the realisation that I was not cool and nor had I ever been cool. And then I...
Right.
I
could... How long did it take you to realise that? I mean, I could have told you that, by the way. He's, you know...
Quite a while.
I haven't known each other very long, but... Took me about 5 minutes to spot it, but how long did it take you?
A few years, you know. I read My Enemy, Sounds, and
yes.
Despised oh. Kerrang. I bet you read Kerrang, didn't you?
No, because I'm a heavy metal fan. Heavy metal fans don't read.
Well, they do. They read The Lord of the Rings.
Well, that is true. They do read The Lord of the Rings. That is good. Actually, that is a good point, yeah. Anyway, so all those guys in that Venn diagram overlap between Genesis, Floyd, Weller, blah, 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 they all despise metal, as you have already demonstrated by hating Kerrang. So I don't want to be in that cabinet. I want to be in a small, rather grotty little plastic caddy by the side of the cabinet marked metal. All right, that's where I want to be.
Yeah.
Metal. No metalhead wants to be in a cabinet with fine marquetry. We don't do that. We do fantasy, as you say. Yeah. Okay, but what I am going to claim, Luke, I'm going to claim that metal was invented in England and is therefore a reason to go and fall in a canal during a pilgrimage to Walsall.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you why Walsall.
Why
and you're going to disagree with that, but that's fine. That it made this particular Englishman what he is today. You know, this particular one sitting here talking to you, the one that always knew he was uncool and never had that particular...
I mean, you know,
I never in my life thought I was cool. I was clearly a plonker, born and bred. Right. Thirdly, that England and specifically the Midlands gave it to the world, and the world, particularly the US and Northern Europe, loves it to death now. Okay, that's what I'm going to argue.
Good. Yeah.
Whether that gets it in a small plastic caddy by the side of the markedly inlaid cabinet that is England, I do not know.
We shall see. That is for our dear listeners to vote upon.
Yes, indeed, for our dear listeners to vote on. Okay, so now then, it seems to me, you know, we had an episode with Roy Field about ska, about music, and it was very personal, as I remember. All Roy Field's propositions are far more impressive and culturally moving than mine. And, you know, because he has a superior cultural sensitivity and knowledge, which I don't. Mm. But he did something of personal importance, I think. And heavy metal, obviously, nobody in their right minds would attach cultural sensitivity to. And yet, for reasons which I will explain in embarrassing detail, was very important to me at a formative period of my life. Before I get into that embarrassing stuff... It does form an important part of your identity when you're young, don't it? What was your music when you were young, Luke?
Yes, you see, I was a bit weird. You'll perhaps not be surprised to hear. I was quite into sort of goth.
No, I wouldn't. I would have thought, no, you're into goth.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also then very, I was into Bob Dylan at a strangely early age. And then into sort of, what? You know, sort of The Doors, David Bowie, that sort of thing.
Gosh, you are cool. Oh, I never imagined it. You really are cool.
But I shared a study with a couple of metalers. So
right.
I was exposed to a lot of heavy metal from a young age, a young impressionable age.
Oh, you poor lad.
But I obviously did sort of... take the mickey out of them quite a lot. And in fact, I could...
Did you?
I could just kick the record player when they were playing too much. And it was perfect. I could kick the desk and just drop the record player and scratch all their heavy metal records.
And actually, you'd never tell the difference between the scratching and the music.
No, quite.
By the sound of things. Yeah. Nice bit of guitar solo there. Yeah. Excellent. Okay, so for me, I hadn't really thought about this until I came to write this episode, which is slightly interesting. But anyway, I hadn't really thought about it. But, you know, pretty much I did was of my class, Luke. You know, my background, nice house, family, church, village fete, good school, grammar school. Quite strong Loughborough, so my posh accent was mocked. I was a little bit slightly outsidery at Loughborough because it was quite town-oriented and people didn't like posh accents. But it was a good grammar and it's on it, you know, on its way to becoming an independent school, private school. So most of what I did in my life was sui generis,
right,
of my class, okay? All my mates listened to middle class sort of stuff, all stuff colonised by the middle classes. So Genesis, Floyd, Dire Straits, The Cure, and famously, and to his fury, Paul Weller. Now, the only thing that the other posh boys like me would have nothing to do with was heavy metal, because it, as we have discussed at some length already, it's not cool.
It's not cool, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's not posh. Quite a lot of metalers at my school, and my school was very posh.
Right. I mean, there were metalers at my school, but the metalers weren't the posh ones,
right,
categorically not.
Yeah.
And whenever I went to concerts, I didn't have to push myself through anybody posh, actually.
Right.
Actually, metal was the one thing, which is the reason why it's important to me, the one thing I did that was not, emphatically not, middle class.
Right.
It was back then social death to everyone around me. Certainly, there's nothing cool about it. Fantasy, wizards, devil worship, sci-fi, bikes, leather, beer, almost entirely male.
Yes.
Guitar, obsessed with guitar solos.
Yes.
It just wasn't cool.
Yeah. We can agree on that.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's some agreement. Okay, maybe it was posher at your school. So when I went to De Montfort Hall, or the very first Monsters of Rock concert, which is the one famous thing of note I've done, it was really the only place where I joined an all-inclusive world where people came from every conceivable background. Mm. And none of them, not a single one, interesting enough, took the piss out of my accent.
No.
Never once did I feel anything other than a part of it, having a great time, and I would be the poorer without that world, and not quite me, for good or ill. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing might be a bad thing. Mm. So there you go. So that's it. That's the embarrassing bit. All I've emoted, Lulu. You can breathe now and hand me that hanky.
It's fine. I have a very small violin. Yeah, in fact, I should have a sort of very small violin bow and play guitar.
Very small violin, yes, yeah. Yes. Stop it. Brilliant. Stop being emotional.
Emotions didn't make England, I can tell you that for sure.
No! God, no!
Stiff upper lip.
God, it's an outrage. Yeah. Emotions, I spit on them. I spit in their general direction. Okay, so that's the emotional bit down. All the rest is, you know. So we've talked about your emotional stuff.
I've come prepared for once. So I know that you're okay. Going to spring a few of your nasty quiz questions on me out of the blue. Which you
I am,
do.
Although, you know, when you...
And
But hang on.
I have quiz questions as well, which I will be giving to you. I'm going to spring them on you in revenge.
But you've sprung them on me. I actually sent the quiz questions to you
this time,
ahead of time.
It's a revenge.
You bastard.
Yes, we have the...
You don't mind me calling you bastard,
not really, no. We have the British Rock Incest Quiz coming up.
British Rock Incest Quiz. That'll be a crowd pleaser. We're going to have to put an E for not.
No, it's not that sort of incest, as in, you know, the intermarriage.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, not that kind of incest. No. Oh, I'm not interested.
Sorry.
Can I just distance myself from this conversation?
Yes.
We've gone off on the wrong track. So the other problem is actually about having this topic is that I made the mistake of introducing it early on the Facebook site. Whack, oops. Won't do that again. So tanks have been placed all over the lawn of this topic in a way that, you know, I mean, Stephen's gone absolutely bonkers. Steeple's gone absolutely bonkers. There's been streams of discussion about it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's great to have involvement and all, but...
It's the community.
You know, the trouble is that the basic problem is that I know nothing about music, okay? I'm going to tell you an anecdote about jazz. It's an anecdote, right. Okay? Sorry about that. I know I'm very bad at telling anecdotes. So It's a personal character flaw, actually. So I had a mate at work called Eddie. I had quite a few mates at work, actually, called Eddie, funnily enough, and Dave. Anyway, Eddie loves jazz. He's a big, big, big fan of jazz. And he would try and take me to persuade me that I really did like jazz, which, in fact, I don't. So we went to Ronnie Scott's many times. I always ended up buying a CD, which I then threw away when I got home. We went to, there's a pizza place which is very famous for jazz in London. We went to that several times. And I would go, and Eddie would be doing his nut. You see what he's done there? You see what he's done there? Oh, that is fantastic. And I'm just thinking, when can I leave? I hate jazz.
Me too.
I hate jazz with a depth of passion. And I realised why I hate jazz. Because to like jazz, you need to know music. This is my theory about jazz. Those guys know their stuff. They're clever musicians. They're putting things together in an incredibly inventive way. And Eddie plays loads of instruments, brilliant at music. He knew what was going on.
Yeah.
I just thought, this is boring. Get me out of here and I'll have another pizza, please. Is that a good theory?
No, I think it's a very good theory because I've got exactly the same problem. I've come up with a list of metal or not metal.
Is that right?
And none of it is actually very much to do with the music itself.
Right.
Because I wouldn't be able to say anything vaguely interesting or acid about music.
Okay. So what you're saying is that not that you don't dislike jazz, but that you don't know anything about music?
Both. I don't know anything about music and I dislike jazz.
Don't like. So we're in the same category. Yes. This is a bit spookily similar going on here.
Yes. We need Royfield.
I don't like this.
He knows about music.
Yeah, probably, Royfield, come here.
He probably likes jazz as well. He's like that sort of cat.
He probably is, because he knows music, doesn't he? You know, he's clever with that sort of thing. You know, he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. Whereas you and I, so the people running this particular lunatic asylum at the moment, this episode, as it's called, are the loonies. Yeah. We know nothing.
We know nothing at all.
In the words, who is that?
We know
who
metal.
Am I imitating there? Andrew Sachs. We know metal.
We know metal.
We do know. But I don't know anything about musically.
No.
You know, anyway, not as much. You know. Anyway, so let us try and define heavy metal, even though I know naff all about music.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so the point I was making about the tanks on the lawn, you know, there can be no denying, Luke, the depth of the influence of American blues on English rock and heavy metal.
Yes.
And I would be a fool to deny. Even I know that Jimmy Page was absolutely bonkers about blues and that all the metal guys bonkers about blues. But that doesn't mean it is blues. And that doesn't mean metal was invented in America. So try this definition of metal. Are you ready?
Yeah.
The rhythm in metal songs is emphatic. Let's say that again. With deliberate stresses. Weinstein observes that the wide array of sonic effects available to metal drummers enables the, quote, rhythmic patterns to take on a complexity within its elemental drive and insistency. In many heavy metal songs, the main groove, if I may call it, groove is characterized by short two note or three note rhythmic figures, generally made up of eighth or sixteenth notes. These rhythmic figures are usually performed with a staccato attack created by using a palm muted technique on the rhythm guitar. Does that say metal to you?
Is that all your own work?
What? What?
No idea what you're talking about.
What's that in? That is apparently metal.
Right.
Anyway,
can I give you mine?
Do what? Go on then. Okay. Give me a metal definition, Luke. Go for it.
It's metal when they do a falsetto screamy bit.
Yes, yes, yes. Got your check.
There's an extended twiddly guitar solo.
Yes, 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 yes. Got that. Check.
Hair is long and heads are banged.
Long. Yeah. And trousers are satin and pouches are large.
Yes. There are frequent mentions of giants, trolls, ghouls, and other fantasy creatures. Likewise, demons and other denizens of the underworld.
They're there.
A band member, ideally the drummer, has died in curious circumstances.
Yes, often in their own vomit.
Often in their own vomit. And there should be an umlaut in the band name.
Yes, umlauts. They do love their umlaut.
You know, they've got to have an umlaut. And the more of these there are, the more metal it is.
Did you ever call them Murterhead, though? as opposed to the Motorhead.
Of course, I've called them Motorhead. I did German air level.
You deployed the umlaut correctly.
Yeah.
Well done, darling. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
Very good. I think your definition is better, actually. Although I got another technique. Another technical which made me more sense. With roots in blues rock, psychedelic rock and acid rock, heavy metal bands developed a thick, monumental sound characterised by distorted guitars, extended guitar solos, emphatic beats and loudness.
Yes.
That made a little bit more sense to me, I thought.
Yes. Yeah. If they do the growly bit,
yeah.
It's definitely...
yes, that's... yeah. Well, we'll get on to that. God, blimey, yeah. Yes. Anyway, so... Luke, why did I like metal? Well, since actually, to my horror and surprise, because I wasn't expecting this, you like metal as well. Why did you like metal? Did you like metal? You think you said you liked metal?
Yes, because it's fun.
Because it's fun?
I think it's fun. I think that would be, you know, and you know, you can really sort of get into it and, you know,
and
do that sort of thing and go rock.
Yeah.
And it's just funny and silly. And
yes.
You know, you don't have to dance, which is a relief.
Yes. Oh, and if you do dance, blokes can do it because you just go up and down a bit. Yes.
Yeah. You're definitely not trying to impress the girls because there aren't any.
No, absolutely not. And actually, the ones that are there.
You've got the night off. Yeah.
We're really straightforward and easy to talk to. They weren't terrifying, the metal concerts. They're just really nice.
Right.
Anyway, there you go. Yes, so I agree with you. It's fun. Just does not take itself that seriously. Yeah. They didn't mind about being an enemy because who would want to be an enemy and take yourself that seriously, be up yourself that much? I also liked it because the energy of it was fantastic. I love that the speed, the loudness, that bit about a whole thing. Yeah. Just lovely. It was utterly bucolic. And I thought that was great.
Bucolic?
It was bucolic, rural, agricultural.
Yes.
I come into a grammar school, darling. You know, we like thinking of clever words for things. I love the guitar solo. The guitar solo for me channeled that long virtuosi tradition, Luke, throughout musical history. Richie Blackmore was the modern Paganini, I put it to you.
Was he?
He was. I mean, he's doing exactly the same thing, isn't he?
Well, I know Richie Blackmore. Paganini's a bit more of a...
Well, right, he's just a show-off with a vanilla violin, isn't he?
Is he?
Yeah. Paganini.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. He's a show-off with a violin, basically.
Right. He could be an ice cream salesman for him.
Okay. South Bank show. That was actually... I know that's Paganini. Okay.
Yeah.
The metal I listened to, which we're going to get away from, was melodic in a way that new wave wasn't quite so much, and death metal isn't. So I actually quite liked the melody of metal because it was quite melodic. Anyway, that was why I liked it. So I have a quiz for you now, Lulu. May I call you Lulu?
You may not call me Lulu.
I'm sorry.
Which I know that's not going to stop you for a second.
It's really not going to stop me. I'm sorry, it's got this for the rest of your life. You just have to kill yourself now. Yes. Otherwise, you're going to get called Lulu for the rest
of your life. Please call me Lulu.
Boring.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
so have you got your blankety blank notebook and pen handy?
Yeah.
Because we are going to play rock or metal. Well, we're not actually, because I messed this up. I'm going to play these clips anyway and note which you think is metal and which is not, but it's reasonably early anyway. But the other thing about this is that here are a bunch of tracks which have been quoted to me as being, this is the first metal song, man. You know, that sort of thing.
Is this HM In or Out?
It's HM In or Out.
Thank you.
Go on, we can't stop it there. Whatever. Why did I play that last one?
What?
Jeff Beck.
Yes.
Because he's a god of guitar, isn't he?
He's a god of guitar, but that doesn't necessarily... Like, Jimi Hendrix is a god of guitar, but it doesn't make him...
No, he's not heavy metal, I totally agree. In the heavy metal in or out conversation, that is not heavy metal. Otherwise, this episode would have gone serious off track. Go on, then.
What was the band that he played in with two other seminal guitarists?
Oh, I do not know. Gary Moore, was he one of them?
No.
Because Gary Moore is another seminal guitarist who never quite got...
Yeah.
Formed a band and was ever quite in or out heavy metal, but was, you know, similar to Jeff Beck. Don't know. What's the answer? What is the answer?
Eric Clapton and Jimmy Page in the Yardbirds.
Ah, fantastic. So I don't know very much about the Yardbirds. When I come listen to bits of them, they always get mentioned. But actually, whenever I've listened to their music, I thought, don't really like this.
Right. There's a really creepy song.
Obviously.
Good morning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just. Yeah. Never got one.
What were the new Yardbirds were? What was when we named
no
that?
Don't know. Oh. I should know that. I do know that, but
you
I
should
have
know gone. That.
What were they called? I didn't know they were the precursors of Led Zeppelin. I didn't really.
They were called the New Yardbirds at one point.
Right. Okay. Even the four of them. Mm.
The four of them.
Right. Cool. Should have known that. So just to go over those. Tracks starting off with, what do we have first? We have Steppenwolf. Okay.
Steppenwolf.
Not metal.
Yeah.
Supposedly where the name heavy metal comes from, because he talks about heavy metal thunder. He's not talking about the music, he's talking about his bike, whack whack, oops. Not the start of heavy metal. Right. Rush was the second, Working Man, which to me is a metal song, dyed in the wool metal, but Rush are not a metal band.
Right. They're just pants.
Oh, come on. Rush are immortal. Anyway. I'm not going to have that argument with you because you're just wrong. What was the third one? Did we then go on to Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix, Billy Joel.
Everybody talked about Jimi Hendrix as the god of the guitar. And in all these lists, you know, you have these lists all over the place with metal. Well, you do for early metal anyway. I'm quite sure you have with thrash, funk, metal, third time removed. But anyway, the old stuff you do. And he's always at the top of the list. Everybody thought Jimi Hendrix was a god. But he's not metal, is he?
No.
He's
too cool.
Far too cool for metal.
Kinks,
you really got me. Metal?
Yes, but that's not metal.
Not metal.
No.
Closer to the mark, though, aren't we? Metal. I mean, in the sense of
No.
You've really got me. I mean, there's a throb. You know, throbbing. What's it?
There's no screaming.
No
bits.
No screaming bits. That's true.
Screaming bits. They're not. You know, they're too cool. There's a Waterloo Sunshine and all that sort of thing.
I mean,
they're not talking about, you know, sort of going up mountains and meeting wizards.
That's true. There are some songs that have wizards in them. Can I just point out in heavy metal? I mean, not many, obviously, but there are some. Anyway,
but then they've got demons.
Mm, good point.
There's no sort of like, you know, I'm a cool dude walking down the street.
Yeah. Well, there are some also. The odd politics one. Not many of them. That's true. Hawkwind. Then I chose that because it's Lemmy in the band, obviously. Master of the Universe, lots of sci-fi. But they're not metal either, I don't think. I'd call them prog, wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah.
Arthur Brown, Fire, that song is so quoted as the start of metal. Just cannot see it. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with metal, as far as I'm concerned.
I remember the sort of stage shows and that sort of thing. Flames and that kind of stuff.
A certain element of shared nuttiness, Free, Wishing Well. I mean, Free, nobody would ever call them as heavy metal, I don't think. But that was played at before every heavy metal concert I ever went to, and you were waiting for the bands to come on, they played that song. It sounds metal to me. Cream, Badge, everybody quotes, I think Cream quite rightly, as a precursor of metal, but it's not metal, is it? And, of course, Jeff Beck.
Ginger Baker was quite metal-y.
He was quite metal-y. I mean, quite an early, had Eric Clapton and all the rest of it, blah, blah. But, you know, and Jeff Beck, you know, not that song. The reason I chose
that song
is that I think you might have had the same experience. They played it at the end of every single disco I went to before the age of 52. And it was the only thing I could ever dance to because it's the only one where I was, nobody else was being cool either. And clearly I couldn't dance, obviously.
And then when you started dancing, we liked it.
Yes, that's right. Everybody had to go home. It was my one opportunity to get within 50 yards of something female. Whatever. So, God, I love that song. Oh, I love that song so much. Right, anyway, so there we go. We've gone on for hours. This episode is never going to end, is it? I'm going to die of old age. I already feel my brain dribbling out of my ear. So I am going to start by saying, as I think where metal starts is this band, and you're going to disagree with me, but what the hell, I'm going to play it anyway. Walsall's finest, Luke.
It's glam rock. Yes, not. No, wrong.
In what way is this not heavy metal?
Because it's glam rock.
He's screaming. It's got a heavy guitar riff.
Yeah.
He's not talking about wizards, okay, grant you that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to stop that now. Yeah. But I would argue that there is a lot of metal. And no, I'm not going to go to the wall on this and say that Slade are metal, because, yeah, okay, I kind of agree that they're not. But it seems to me, I mean, this guy hung out with Robert Plant.
Yeah.
He went to gigs. I think his dad had a van, did Noddy. And I, by the way, yeah. I played that clip because I love Noddy, and it's really important to me that you know that I love Noddy. I'm pretty sure that Noddy, although he's never met me, loves me too.
Yeah.
He makes me laugh, and he's got a great voice, and he's a lot of fun, the lad.
Yes.
Okay. He is impeccably connected to the Bessemer process of metal in terms of place. He comes from Walsall, the Beachdale estate, where he lived, also produced another metal legend and leather whipsucker, whose name was Rob Halford, of Judas Priest, of course, as you'll know. He used his father's window-cleaning van to drive Robert Plant to gigs with Plant's band at the time, the Tennessee Teams. He is part of the essential Englishness of metal. Why is it called metal is the thing. And I don't know why it's called metal. It's not the Steppenwolf thing. There's a heavy thing going on, isn't there? Sort of guns, metal, cannon, that sort of thing. Guitar thing, heavy somehow. The music is heavy. Anyway, I don't know why it's called heavy.
Yeah.
Nobody knows why. There are some theories, but I don't think I'm going to go through them. Quite often people say Led Zepp. And I think in our conversation, you said, well, you're not going to convince me it's going to the candidate because the music's rubbish, except for Led Zepp, and you've chucked out Led Zepp. So I'm going to play you a clip explaining why it's not Led Zepp. So we're going to have to do that Led Zepp thing, because they have been described as heavy, even heavy metal. Often is their brush so tarred. For me, the heart of Led Zepp is just a bunch of blokes doing drugs in a deserted Welsh cottage and making music. Or actually, maybe this, Black Country Woman. This, for me, is where Led Zepp really live, where they're at home.
Can I get this airplane on? Not even, yeah.
Although, of course, to be fair, there was this. You need cool. Which leads, of course, to this. A pretty classic guitar solo. And then, of course, there was this, you know.
Yeah.
But I did read an article in the Times which claimed that Dazed and Confused was one of the first heavy metal tracks. It ain't.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman.
That isn't heavy metal, is it? Led Zeppelin are often quoted as heavy metal. For me, they are not in any way heavy metal, though I grant you there is on occasion recourse to heaviness. But Led Zepp simply have too much talent, too much range to be heavy metal. And they tend towards nuttiness, and metal, although it delights in nuttiness of the fantasy kind, does not, repeat not, indulge in whimsy. Obviously, this is turning into a peon to Led Zepp, so I'm going to have to stop now and go back to the main show. But, you know, Led Zepp are just a thing of their own. Nobody's like Led Zeppelin. Nobody could do it like Led Zeppelin. There is one Led Zeppelin. There are no others. That's all.
You're wrong.
Really? You think Zepp is the beginning of heavy metal?
I would say they are heavy metal, and they could be argued to be heavy metal. You know, I mean, Black Dog.
Yes. They've got songs which...
They are very... Just because they have a couple that sounds a bit
Their range is amazing of Led Zepp. They do all kinds of stuff. All right, okay.
There's a lot of things with heavy metal where they sort of start off sort of quiet and then sort of go, you know, like Stairway to Heaven, you know, is archetypal heavy metal, where they sort of, you know, starts off all sort of, and then gets all blue.
And we can put it as a supplementary vote to the people. Though before we do, we're going to have to take a bit of a break here to hear a message from our sponsor, should we happen to have one of those. So here we go.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Right, okay, we're back. So, onto the Manichaean duopoly. This is where the start of metal is. 1969, yeah. Hanwell Community Centre, in practice for Deep Purple in rock, they played Speed King. I'm now going to play you Speed King, and then a variety of tracks from the two bands that gave birth to heavy metal in Brum. Goes on a bit, to be honest, so I've shortened it for you.
Thank you. like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction.
So Ritchie Blackmore, Ian Gillan, Roger Glover, John Lord, who is from Leicester, by the way, and Ian Paice. Right. Those guys are in the heavy metal pantheon of the gods, okay? They are one of the two places where it all starts. The other one I'll come to in a moment. So Ritchie Blackmore in particular, you know, is a heavy metal god, isn't he? And he very famously said, I don't give a damn about song construction. I just wanted to make as much noise and play as fast as possible and as loud as possible. I mean, that's classic, isn't it? That is the definition of metal. I saw a lovely program about heavy metal, actually. I think it might have been on Netflix. And they interviewed Ritchie. And he sat for hours talking very intelligently and serious, actually, about music. He was very articulate, actually. And he was dressed up in a wizard's outfit with a hat on at the same time. Wizard's hat on. And that is the spirit of heavy metal. And he didn't break sweat for once and say, I'm looking like a plonker. Okay. His follow-up band, you know, The Rainbow, 1975...
Well,
it's kind of rock, really. It's quite melodic, but we can never throw them out of the club. So anyway, so that's one of the Manichaean duopoly. The other one is where Brum gets the prize and where the Noddy Holder thing comes in. It's Ozzy Osbourne, of course. Ozzy's dad is a toolmaker, so there's one theory that says that's where the heavy metal thing comes from. He formed a band late '67. Geezer Butler formed his first band, Rare Breed, actually, and then recruited Ozzy to serve as a vocalist. Played a couple of shows, then broke up. Osbourne and Butler reunited in Polka Talk Blues. Glad they changed that name. Along with guitarist Tony Iommi. Tony Iommi is the heavy metal guitarist, even more than Ritchie, I would argue. And drummer Bill Ward. That is it, Luke, like a fantasy novel, The Assembling of the Heroes.
Right, on Tony Iommi,
yes,
quiz question. What surprising body part...
end of his fingers. And possibly the corner of one of his buttocks, but nobody talks about that anymore.
We'll not do it.
And anyway, nobody plays the guitar with the buttocks, not even in heavy metal, although there have been suggestions.
Oh, I bet they do, yeah. But anyway, so my meeting...
Go on, go for it. This is your big moment, Lulu.
Yes! I had met... I was about 17. I'd been to see Black Sabbath the night before, walking along the King's Road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
as you do.
Did.
And there they were. And I went running up to them. Are you Black Sabbath?
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Brave.
So I always say, and they said, "Oh, you look Black Sabbath." Of course they did. And
they didn't call you Lulu then. It's nice of them.
They didn't call me Lulu. And then they said, "You know, do you want tickets to tonight's gig?" And I was like, "No, I have to go back to school, university."
Why? Oops. Yes. Let me think. What's the right answer there? Yes or no? Yeah. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. I couldn't. You know,
you're too honest.
Boarding school.
Yes, always. Yes, but you could have just taken the bloody tickets and sold them on for a fortune.
Oh, I see. No.
Anyway. Very good story. Cool. I never met anybody famous.
Actually, another Black Sabbath anecdote while we're at it.
Oh, yes.
So they recorded their last album called The End at a friend of mine's studios.
Did they?
Yeah. So they did an album called 13, which is quite good, and then they did another album, which is mostly live stuff, and then did a few songs in the studio with Toby. And Toby said they were awful, you know, like they absolutely hated each other.
Oh, really?
You know, Ozzy was completely incoherent.
Right.
And they were all sort of like, you know, on the right sort of die.
It's sad when that happens.
Very, very ill.
Yeah.
But they were there just there for the money.
I suppose they didn't look as though they were in their peak of health at any stage, really, did they?
No. No,
so Black Sabbath released February 1970 in the UK, and so heavy metal music was born. Black Sabbath also bred a later genre, because let me tell you, metal breeds genres like rabbit on speed. That genre is doom metal, which does what it says on the tin. Anyway, there you go. So here's the thing about heavy metal then, and its culture and why it was social poison. I think we've already covered this, really, but it's Dungeons and Dragons. So all my mates play Dungeons and Dragons. Fantasy Wizards, King Will Come, that sort of thing. We've done that. Whips, chains and leather, quite big.
Mm-hmm.
Bikes and machines were popular, as I remember. Brushed denim jackets, embroidery and badges. Mm. Did you have a brushed denim jacket?
No, I had an even worse one. I had a sort of bleached denim jacket.
I did an embroidery on the back that said deep purple. Oh, of course.
Yourself.
Yes. I used to like embroidery, actually. Yeah. I love the silk, the colours of the silk. Anyway, I did deep purple. I showed it to a friend's mother, and she said, oh, that says deep jungle. That's lovely. So I did enjoy it. I wasn't good at it. The other thing about heavy metal is hero worship of guitarists. Saint Jimi Hendrix, the God Ritchie, Tony Iommi, the Prince of Darkness. Constant conversations about who was the greatest guitarist of all time. Jimmy, of course, is always there, as we said. Blokes, very male, as we said. There was the odd band, there was Girl School, I think. They did not do social comment either. I mean, there was War Pigs, which was early for Sabbath, but they didn't really do social comment very much, did they? They weren't like Weller, you know.
No.
So then we get some US bands coming in. Alice Cooper, did you like Alice Cooper? And he bit a head of a chicken, I think, didn't he?
Bat?
Did you like?
What was that?
No, that bat's Ozzy, I think.
That was Ozzy.
Yeah, Alice was supposed to have killed a chicken or something.
Yeah, now he's a Republican golf player.
Is he?
Which a lot of them are. I think there's a.
But, I'm sorry. Yeah. I know I'm going to upset people, but I never took them seriously. Kiss and Alice Cooper didn't take them seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, they were fun. Alice Cooper was a nice guy. He appeared on The Muppet Show. And, you know, he was nice and fun, and I loved the Muppet Show, so it was great. Yeah. Kiss were just daft. Van Halen were great. I was never convinced about the metal thing. I mean, Jump was later, about 84.
Yeah.
And I thought it was quite typical of the US versions of heavy metal at that time, not later, I had to say, which was they were very boppy. There was a lack of grit.
Right. Well, there's an element to them that take themselves quite serious, like sort of Megadeth and Metallica.
Oh, but that's later, isn't it? A little bit later. Metallica's a little bit later.
Yeah, I'm that much younger than you, though.
Yeah, because they really do get it. Yeah, I mean, they really get the ball and say, oh, that's where the ball is. And they run with it in a major way. Then what you get, a sort of transition period and the arrival of new wave metal. So in the transition, I'd put bands that I saw quite a lot of, Uriah Heep, UFO, Doctor, please. Mm. Yeah, that sort of thing. Do you remember UFO? Mm.
No.
Michael Schenker Group, Gary Moore and all the rest of the German band.
Very actually. Heard of them.
Judas Priest, famously, back to Brum, back to Beachdale Estate.
Yeah.
AC/DC. Now, is that heavy metal or just hard rock?
Yes.
You think that's heavy metal?
AC/DC are total metal.
I would have
metal.
Said they're total metal. Yes. People don't call them that, you know.
Oh, really?
I mean,
of course they are.
I thought they're a fantastic band, absolutely fantastic band. And
AC, I hated them for a long, long time.
It was because of the shorts.
And it just the general, you know. Yeah.
Ambiance.
Yeah. Strutting. Too much strutting.
Well, they're Australian, isn't it? Actually, they're Scottish, aren't they?
Yeah.
They were the bee's elbows, though, weren't
they? Rob.
Sorry, Rob, yeah.
Right, yeah.
So I have one claim to fame in metal, one claim of fame only, which is I went to the inaugural Monsters of Rock concert.
What?
Yep. I was there, 1980, Castle Donington. That's me.
You say you're not cool.
And I say I'm not cool. And I went to the first. Whoa. How wrong could I be?
Well, I was speaking to you.
Of course I'm cool. First ever. Yeah. You're being sarcastic, aren't you? Stop it.
I think I might be. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry.
Headlined by Rainbow, Judas Priest, Fist, April Wine, Riot, Scorpions, Saxon, 747 coming down the line, Wheels of Steel, the home of heavy metal, Castle Donington, the home of heavy metal, Slade 1 year. So you see, they are metal. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And AC/DC also. So then you get the new wave of British heavy metal. Quite a lot of people. We've got a bloke doing the decorating called Dave at the moment. And when I mentioned I was doing something on heavy metal, he said, oh, yes, new wave, British heavy metal. That's what I loved. What was the name of the most famous of those new wave bands, would you say? No, actually.
No.
I would say. I mean, could be. It could be. So they're probably the most successful, the most songs. But no, the one I was thinking of, rightly or wrongly, actually, is Murderhead. Obviously, Murderhead, because there's an umlaut over the O.
Yeah. Right. Then new wave. They're just, yeah, because new wave for me sounds like Duran Duran and Japan.
Yes. New wave, so British heavy metal. I think the British heavy metal element to the name New Wave British Heavy Metal is important.
Yes.
Her name was not Rhea. Yes. And she did not sail down the Rhea Grande. No. Yes, or whatever.
Sleep until Hammersmith.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So Motorhead, Def Leppard, another claim to fame, actually. Gosh, I really am cool. Is I saw Def Leppard for £1.50 at Loughborough Town Hall. When the guy, they had all their limbs as well at the time. Drummer had two arms. Yeah. Pyromania, 1983, I think, was their first photograph. Probably one of their most famous songs. They're quite US, if it seems to me, quite melodic, you know.
Yes.
But and whereas Motorhead is incredibly agricultural.
Oh, not melodic. They are great. See, I like them, and I think they were the first band. I think
But
they're funny.
They are very funny. I read his autobiography actually. He was quite obsessed by Saxon, as I remember. Anyway. Here's a clip I was going to play.
You've been gone. But that's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever. And don't forget the Joker.
Classic Motörhead, of course. That's the way I like it, baby. I don't want to live forever. There was a film about these guys. Did you see that film?
Oh, right, Spinal Tap. Oh, yes, it's one of my favourite films of all time.
It is a good movie. Yeah. Thing is, I came home from the pub late and turned on the telly, which I always did when I came home from the pub, and there was this programme on about this heavy metal band. So I didn't know that it was a send-up. And I watched, you know, for about half an hour thinking, these guys are mental. And it was very surprising. My God, come on, look at this. Especially when the guy, I think I might have been, I don't know, when it was. Anyway, especially when the guy tries to, he goes out to hand his, because his library books are overdue. You know, he's the guitarist or something, and he's a real bad boy, but he's got his library books out and he needs to phone that he doesn't want to find. So he looks out into the hall to phone out the library and he says, yes, these are books I need. I need to just renew them. Do you mind? John Blair, Anglo-Saxon England. And I think I was reading that book at the time for some essay. Very funny. Anyway.
It's such a good film. I love it. I showed it to my son not that long ago. And he doesn't really know metal. Because you need to know a bit about metal to really get all the sort of weird references. Do. But he loved it. He thought it was hilarious.
Did he? Oh, he liked it. Did he turn it up to 11 bit? We should have an 11 on the amps.
But you know that... That's what they do, and you know, iPlayer, the volume on iPlayer used to go up to 11. I don't think it does anymore because of that. It's brilliant.
We should have an 11.
And they're Americans who can do British accents.
There you go, fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so there's plenty of US stuff that comes out with new ways, Nave, as well. Guns N' Roses,
which no, after what they did, Knocking on Heaven's
Door, is that right?
Store,
I was never into them. Never did. But they did do one of the world's greatest songs, didn't they? Yeah. Okay. Sweet Child of Mine is surely... If you were going to have a list of 10 songs that you would have to...
It wouldn't be on it.
Sweet Child of Mine? Are you mad?
I would... yes. I will bang my head to it, and it's quite fun, but it would so not be on my top 10 songs of all time.
Well, it'll be on mine. I have to tell you, it's a great song.
Wow.
It's a love song.
It's all right.
You know, if somebody had written about me, yes. You know, that'd be great. Anyway, nobody has ever written me a love song, actually.
You're my sweet child, baby,
yes.
If that helps.
Thank you, Poppet. Right. Then there's Bon Jovi. Big breakthrough. Bon Jovi were fun, weren't they? Don't you think?
No.
Do you not think? I didn't love Bon Jovi. I got a job in Toronto for a couple of months, repping, and I started driving around, and they were playing Bad Medicine, wall to wall. In fact, all the DJs essentially just got in the morning, put on Bad Medicine, left, and then came back 12 hours' time, as far as I could see. That was, you know, Canadian radio. Oh, they were great. Lots of hair, 80s haircuts, lots of messing around. Yeah. I loved them.
It was that one they did for that cowboy movie for the Young Guns.
Was there?
Which was quite funny.
What was that?
And, you know, he's sort of standing on a ridge, you know, being about as metal as he could possibly be. That was
it. Oh, great. I really loved it. I really loved them. Living on a Prayer is just a classic. Right. So now we get to Iron Maiden. Now, I have to say that I am of your mind. And I left heavy metal when we got to Iron Maiden. But Wolf, who is my partner in crime on the History of Technicolor, Wolf went to see them this last weekend for the 11th time. And when I sent him a text saying, how was the concert? He said, it was a dream come true. And the emotion was dripping through the text. He meant it. So he has very kindly done a clip about Iron Maiden for me. And here it is.
Hello and welcome to a very brief history of the greatest heavy metal band of all time, Iron Maiden. They formed in East London way back in 1975 and are often referred to as one of the pioneers of the new wave of British heavy metal, and they have influenced anyone and everyone in metal ever since, with their unique sound, style, artwork and the iconography of their mascot, Eddie. You might typify them for their galloping riffs and dueling guitars, like here. Or here. Then there is their fantastical lyrics and themes, generally related to fantasy, sci-fi, horror, history, and war, all delivered via Bruce's soaring vocals, like here. So we lay in a black embrace, and the seed is sown in a holy place, and I watched and I waited for the dawn. Or here, in their song Passchendaele. Oh, and then there's their epic solos. To me, they are equally silly and poetic, heavy and elegant. Forever evolving as a band so that 40 plus years on from their first album, they are still giving more than I ever could have dreamed of. Their career is varied and bold, and they have never rested on their laurels and instead seek out new horizons musically and thematically while travelling further around the globe to take their shows to every audience they can possibly visit. Their world tours typically go from Europe to South Korea, to India, Costa Rica, Chile, Canada, and New Zealand, and they cart their full show of props, costumes, pyrotechnics, set dressings, and backdrops with them. Their live shows are impeccable, and the crowd response equals that, as shown by this clip from their live show in Rock in Rio. I just got back from travelling to see them in Lisbon for my 11th time watching them perform, and they're just as good as when I first saw them way back in 2006. There's simply no metal band, and maybe very few artists in the world that are doing it like they are now in the fifth decade of their career, and that is why I think they are one of the most influential bands in the world. Back to you, David.
Nice one, Wolf. Thank you very much. I mean, you know, if anybody's going to be convinced about Iron Maiden, yeah, they would be convinced by that.
Ready for my next quiz question?
Ready for your next quiz question.
It's an Iron Maiden-based one.
Okay, I'm not going to do well at this.
What is Bruce Dickinson's alternative career when he isn't metaling?
Do you know, I think doesn't he fly aeroplanes?
Yes, he's an airline pilot.
Yes, go me. What do I get for my prize?
You get, done, David.
Yes. Pride. I don't know.
Gold star.
I forgot gold star. That's all right.
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to ask you a question. What was your least favourite heavy metal band? Did you have a least favourite? You actually sent me a fantastic clip. What were they? What was that genre that you sent me?
Oh, yes. What were they called? Femi Nazgul. That was dark metal. Yeah.
Dark metal. Dark feminist metal.
Yes. Yes.
It was very slightly dark. So this is what happens to metal in the 1990s.
Yeah.
The US get really involved. Yeah. And Northern Europe, particularly. So the Nordics get really involved, and the Germans and all the rest of it.
Yeah. There's a very funny film about a Nordic dark metal band.
Is there?
That Mark Kermode likes very much. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Do they do humour?
I can look it up. Yeah.
That would be good to know that, actually, because that might be a hoot. Anyway, so look, there's a list of... This is what happens to markets, Luke.
Yeah.
This is about market segmentation and about identifying a niche... Dominating that niche, and that is where profit comes from. The theory of competitive advantage and market segmentation.
Ooh.
And that is what happens in every industry, and that is what happens in metal. So you get thrash metal, bands like Anthrax, Metallica, a bunch of German bands, death metal, black metal. There's actually a UK band in that called Venom, apparently, but there's loads of them from Norway and Denmark.
Yeah.
Power metal, lots of European bands. Prog metal, which I suppose are inspired by bands like Rush. Doom metal, which originate with, you know, Ozzy. New metal. Actually, I've heard of Linkin Park through the children, funnily enough.
Yes.
Apparently they're a new metal band. Sludge, well, I mean, and there's probably more, but I am done.
Yeah.
So.
Sludge metal.
That is it. I've actually...
No,
Mudge Slettle. Anyway, I've come to the end. This thing is about an hour and a half long, and I'm really sorry to everybody.
Did you get to watch the Stranger Things episode? Did you watch that?
Yes, I did.
The most metal scene that's ever happened.
That was the most metal scene.
Should I describe it for the listeners?
Describe it for the listeners.
Yes, so this is the most metal scene. So, you know, for those of you that don't know Stranger Things, it's a series that's very heavily influenced by Steven Spielberg, set in small-town USA in the 1980s. The lead characters are a bunch of young teens who are very keen on Dungeons & Dragons, as was I.
Have a game.
Yes, we should. Yeah, it's been a while. And they discover that there is a sort of netherworld under Hawkins, which they dub the Upside Down, as it is a grim mirror image of their own town inhabited by sort of increasingly grimly beasts. That are kind of reminiscent of the Dungeons and Dragons bestiary. As the series
goes on. They're quite scary beasts too. They do nasty things.
They are really quite scary beasts. Yeah, and they get scarier and scarier. And you know, as the kids grow up, the beasts get scarier. It's great. It's very funny. Anyway, in the most recent series, they are back in the Upside Down, and one bunch need to get to a haunted house that's protected by this demonic bat-like creatures. And in order to smooth their way, two of the nerdiest characters need to distract the said bat-like creatures. And so one of them, who is the metaller, gets down his axe, i.e. guitar, and stands on top of his trailer and kicks into a heavy riff. It's Metallica's Master of Puppets. And brings the demons raining down upon his head to save his friend. It's so metal, like almost.
It is very, very metal indeed.
Very metal.
And it is, yeah. I didn't realise it was Metallica, told me that.
Yeah.
Very good.
Very good.
Fantastic. Any other anecdotes, or can we let our poor listeners go to bed?
You don't want my quiz? You don't want my incest quiz?
Oh, yes. I thought you'd done your...
Okay. So, this is people who, you know, because it's a very crucial part of heavy metal is that they all basically played in each other's bands and did all that sort of thing.
It is true, actually. Yes, they're in and out of bed, aren't they? Like mad things, yeah.
Exactly. Good point. Hence the incest. So, who sang...
Hence the Jeff Beck question.
Yeah. Who sang for both Black Sabbath and Rainbow?
That is Ronnie James Dio.
It's Ronnie James Dio. Bonus question about Ronnie James Dio. What is Ronnie James credited with starting? It's a key element to rock!
Don't know, the demonic thing. He did his first album with Rainbow. There was a picture of smoking angels on it. I took it home with me and
that's
I played
Black
it
Sabbath.
The loudest. That's when he joined Sabbath. Sorry, pardon me.
That's Heaven and Hell.
Yeah. Heaven and Hell. You have to hear Heaven and Hell, which is a fantastic album I loved.
Yes.
Sorry?
Emoticon. He invented the devil fingers.
Did he?
That was Ronnie James. Yeah.
Huh?
Himself.
Gosh. Well done, Ronnie.
So who sang for both? Singer. For both Black Sabbath and Deep Purple?
Oh, Black Sabbath and Deep Purple. David Coverdale? Or Ian Paice?
No.
Come on, I should know that. No, don't know.
Ian Gillan?
Ian Gillan, of course he did.
Yes.
Oh, I cannot live with the shame.
I know. Well, yeah.
Who played guitar
for both Rainbow and Deep Purple? Easy one.
That's Richie.
That's Richie Blackmore. Who sang for both Whitesnake and Deep Purple?
That's David Coverdale.
That is David Coverdale. Very good. And who played keyboards for both Whitesnake and Deep Purple?
Is that not John? Is that John Lord?
That is John Lord, correct.
Yes, go me. I saw John Lloyd in concert once with the guy who did, who wrote all those books. I think he might have done Rumpole.
Written
Rumpole. And he played the piano at the Henley Festival because he lived
He's down in as a sort of musician rather than a rock star.
He was. I mean, he's a classically trained, trained musician, all the rest of it. Anyway,
that's the quiz.
Oh, I didn't do too badly.
Very good.
And to be honest, I did know the Ian Gillan one. I just forgot temporarily. So I think I did okay on that.
I went to see Deep Purple and Lynyrd Skynyrd in combined.
Oh, did you?
And literally, I think there was only one of them in both bands that was actually from the original band.
They did remake themselves madly, didn't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw David Coverdale, but he was at Whitesnake by the time I saw him.
Yeah.
By any other claim to fame, I was offered tickets to Nebworth for Led Zepp and didn't go.
Oh, yeah.
And I've lived with the shame for the rest of my life. And it's almost unbearable, actually. Yeah. Anyway, look, we've bored everybody to death.
Metal,
I mean, it must be an hour and a half now. Yeah. The longest episode is on metal.
Yes. I'm going to go eat a bat or something. And,
yes, that would be very good. Yeah. Anyway, so...
Sacrifice a virgin.
Gentle listeners, we hope you'll come on to Facebook, and I know a couple of you are going to come and give me grief and talk about Steppenwolf and all that kind of stuff, you know, whatevs. Yeah. But that's great. Come and tell us how it is. Does heavy metal go in the small plastic caddy that sits alongside the cabinet avec le marquetré d'Angleterre, or not? Or does it not even get that?
Dear listeners, basically... Roy Fields will explode.
Yes, don't vote it anywhere. Roy Fields' head will explode.
Please don't vote for metal.
If you're anywhere near California, you'll hear a small crump as Roy Fields' head goes all over the ceiling. And you don't want that, do you? So don't vote for it. Don't vote for metal.
Don't vote for metal. Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll kill Roy Fields. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've been very patient. Actually, I'm not sure. You probably turned this off ages ago. Anyway, you've been very patient. Sorry, I overprepared. I do that. And we'll see you next time whenever we choose to do an episode. Yes. Thank you very much for keeping me company, Luke.
That was great. Thank you.
That was great. Thank you for your quiz, which was excellent, especially since I got many of the right answers.
Yes. You're very good.
Right. Thank you very much for coming, everybody. And we'll see you again next time. And join us on Facebook. Bye.
And these are the things that made England.
And St. George!
These are the things that made England.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.